This is part two of six things to be daily conscious of. I am hoping that some of you brought back your sheet. Good. Okay, that's good. I'll take that. That was like 10%. Just because it's been several weeks. So I have some, and I'll try and pass some of these out. So if you need one, if you can just raise your hand, and I will bring one to you. So six things to be daily conscious of. 1, 2, 3, 4. And of course, we'll have to go through the first three pretty quickly. Two? Okay, let's start with that. We'll see how many I have. Do you need one, Gene? Okay. Uno, dos, tres, dos. Do you have one, hon? All right, there you go. Norma, do you have one?
No.
Do you want one? Keep your hands raised if you need one. I am coming through. One more. There you go. We're doing fine, so if you need one, don't be afraid. Raise your hand. I've got plenty. Okay, good deal. There's a couple. All right, six things to be daily conscious of. Let's pray, and then we'll dig into this. Father, help us in our hearts and our minds to be focused on the things that we should be focused on. We live in a busy world, and there's lots of things that can occupy space in this little head of ours. And yet, there are things that must be up there. If we are going to live for your glory daily, if we're going to be purposeful and living for eternity, Father, we need to be conscious of things consistently. And so help us to do that. I pray that this study would just instill these things in us, and that we would be more active in rehearsing in our minds these truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first 1 through 3, we're going to go through pretty quickly. And so if you don't have them filled out, you're going to have to try and do a good job here. So six things to be daily conscious of. And does anybody remember, without looking at your notes, I know that's kind of hard, but do you remember what the first one is? Somebody. God, okay? Daily conscious of God. And you would think, well, that's a gimme. That's, of course, but not necessarily. Have you ever gone your whole day without thinking about God? Without praying? So conscious of God, who he is, where he is, and what he does. Who he is, where he is, and what he does, his attributes, his presence, and his sovereign control and providential work. So to be conscious of that, be conscious of my God and what he's doing. By the way, for Romans 8:28 to work, this has to be happening in your mind. Explain that to me. For Romans 8:28 to work, yeah, tell me, why would I make that statement? Okay, you got to be a believer. Okay, you got to love him. Jacob? Okay, yes, so loving him, being conscious of him. Okay, I'm thinking more of past the being the believer and the loving him, but the all things work together. Yeah, very good. So for me to have a great comfort in the truth, all things work together for good, I need to know that my God loves me. I need to know that my God is powerful, that my God is wise, that my God is near, his presence, that he can actually see my situation and what's going on, and that he's in control and working. And see, when those things are present in my mind, then it's much easier for me to say, oh yeah, all things work together for good. Because this is who my God is. So conscious of God. Second thing is conscious of Christ's sacrifice. Two things here, what he went through for me and what he accomplished for me. Conscious of Christ's sacrifice, what he went through for me and what he accomplished for me. Put in there as well, put Romans 8:32. And can you paraphrase and just tell me what Romans 8:32 says? We read it like four times this morning. Can you just give me the sum of Romans 8:32? Somebody do me a, give me a blessing right here and just tell me that you were listening. No, I'm just kidding. 8:32, what is it? What? No. Good. But is there any, I mean, yes. Right, very good. Okay, so he didn't spare his own son to save us. So if he was willing to do that, he's going to do all these other things for us. That's the greatest thing. And so all these lesser things, you bet they're going to happen. So when you're conscious of Christ's sacrifice, you realize Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Okay, well, is he going to watch over me today? You bet. Why? Because he died on the cross for my sins. Why would he die on the cross for my sins and then not be able to watch over me today? Why would he, you know, Hebrews chapter 7, he ever lives to make intercession for us. He continues that intercessory work on our behalf. So we need to be mindful of what he went through for us and what he did for us. Third thing, conscious of the Spirit. Three things there. His work identifying me with God, Romans 8, telling me that I'm a child of God. His work through my prayers, which we talked about last week, that intercessory work that does, and his work in teaching me. He continues to teach me. He continues to help me to understand the Word of God, which is, what's that word we've been learning? We've mentioned it several times, where light, the Spirit brings light to the text. Illumination, very good. The work of the Holy Spirit illuminating. And remember, each one of these, and we're going to ask these questions tonight with the next three, we've asked, how do we do this on a practical basis? How do I make sure that I'm daily conscious of these things? Because really what's going to happen is that I'm going to suggest that you be daily conscious of these things, but there's no way that I can enforce it or apply it. You're actually going to have to take the application and say, you know what, I'm going to do this, and go home and work it out. So the first three things, we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think it's very healthy for children of God to be conscious of the Trinity, conscious of their individual working, and very, very good for us. Especially, I mean all of them, but especially the Holy Spirit, because he's so active in our lives right now. Hey, you want to know a blessing? This is just a tidbit just for free. Do you know that when you're not conscious of God, he's still conscious of you? Isn't that wonderful? It's not like you have to be conscious of him for him to be conscious of you. Even when you forget about him, he never forgets about you. Even when you forget to look towards him, he never stops looking at you. That's pretty cool. All right, let's go on to new material tonight. So we've got the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the next one, by the way, let me just see what you come up with. I'm just curious. I'm a very curious fellow. Tell me, what are some things that you think in our spiritual lives we should be daily conscious of? Okay, our sin. One of the answers, and so just I know. You're right. Okay, we have. So Laura said attitudes. Linda, you said spiritual battle. I'm laughing because that's what Judy kind of said. I'm trying to keep her quiet. Okay, conscious of the lost souls around us. Hannah? Okay. Dependence on God. Yep, dependence on God, our weakness. Okay, yeah, so the purpose and goal of our life is to glorify God. So, yeah, Judy says blessings. Sheila? Good that we serve a mighty God. Of course, that would be under the first one, being conscious of who he is. But yes, definitely. Yes. So we got more attributes, but it's that we serve a mighty God. Good. Okay, so the lost, Daniel said that, being conscious of the lost. No, that's good, sharing the gospel. I'm just seeing what you come up with. Okay, good. Answered prayers. Okay, yeah, so lost people who need the gospel, good. Yeah, we got sin. That was the first one. Okay, so forgiveness, being willing to forgive others. His sovereignty, and that would be under the number one, being conscious of God and his attributes. Okay, so actions of our life and how that relates to people, how they see us. Our testimony, yeah, okay, good. Us. Okay. Yeah. Okay, fellow Christians. Okay, that's enough. No more. Okay, I'm gonna. Potluck Sundays. You. True. You're saying that we need to be conscious of potluck Sundays every day. No, I know. Okay, so here's good. Here's good news. Here's good news and bad news. In that list, you got 2 out of 3 of the rest of them. But you missed one. No. I didn't want you to try them, but I just wanted you to, I wanted you in your own minds to say, oh, what should I, as a Christian, what should I be daily thinking of? And so there's one that you missed, and we'll talk about it when we get there, okay? All right, so the next thing I want us to be daily conscious of, and obviously, as you just observed, this is not a complete list. You can add things to this. You can have a whole list of, okay, these are 20 things I should be thinking about today. Won't bother me at all, okay, if you add to this list. But these are things that I think are very good. Here's another thing, conscious of Satan and his army. For this, we can go to Ephesians chapter 6. The battle is real and ongoing. Ephesians chapter 6. What is in Ephesians chapter 6? Anybody? Last part of it? What? The armor of God. Okay, good. Conscious of Satan and his army, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at this. Notice, as I'm reading this, how many times he says the word stand. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying with supplication, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. All right, so several times he says there, stand, stand, stand. We're supposed to stand. We're supposed to be able to stand. And we have everything we need to be able to stand. There is a war that's raging around us. And where is this war taking place? Is it a physical war? It's in the spiritual realm, right? Because he says there, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So this isn't like, you know, we're all wearing our physical armor here tonight, and we're like, okay, guys, when we go out these doors, charge, you know, take out your sword, let's go, because we're going to be physically fighting. It's not like that. It's a spiritual battle that's going on. Unfortunately, sometimes because it's a spiritual battle, we aren't observant of it. We don't realize that it's going on like it really is, like we should really be aware of it. In verse 11, to stand against the wiles of the devil. Do you remember Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner? Yeah. And what was the coyote always trying to do? He was always trying to get the Roadrunner, right? So all these traps that he would devise. And, you know, the coyote's a pretty clever guy. It never quite works out, but he's pretty clever. And he has all these resources. And you know, the Roadrunner, he always makes it through. Well, that wiles of the devil, that's kind of the same way. He is constantly planning. And he's got tremendous resources to get us. Constantly, constantly, constantly. What is the one thought on the coyote's mind? No. What's the one thought on the coyote's mind? He wants to get the Roadrunner, right? He doesn't think about anything else. I just want to get the Roadrunner. When he wakes up in the morning, when he goes to bed at night, when he, you know, when he does his budget for the year, I want to get the Roadrunner. And that's Satan. Satan is constantly thinking about how he may get us, how he may destroy us. So there is a constant battle raging on, and we need to be ready to stand in the midst of it. How are we going to be able to stand? What do we need to do? Put on the armor of God. Now, is this physical armor we put on? Okay, it's not physical armor because it's not a physical battle. But what are these things that we're putting on? Let's look at the first one. Gird your waist with what? With truth. All right, let's take Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, we learned this morning, says all things work together for good. If you don't put that truth and gird yourself with it, what could Satan do? How could he get to you? Okay, he could tell you all kinds of lies. Okay, he could plant doubt in us. Doubt that my circumstances aren't going to work out for good. Doubt that God's not actually working in the midst of this. So if I haven't girded myself with truth, I am vulnerable. And that's why I said this morning, one of the things I said at the end is I said we need to get this truth and remind our minds of it. It needs to be bouncing around in these empty halls upstairs, right? Hopefully they're not entirely empty. So we have truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod, taking up the shield of faith. Satan, once again, he's going to shoot arrows at you, trying to get you to not believe God's promises. So have faith. And the list continues to go on. So we need to be daily prepared with the Word of God and with this armor. The other passage here is in 1 Peter 5:8. 5, 8, and 9, Satan always wants to destroy us. And we've kind of alluded to that. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Seeking to devour, seeking whom he may devour, walks about like a roaring lion. So we're supposed to be sober. We're supposed to be ready for this. Don't be caught unaware. Don't be the soldier that's caught sleeping on duty. That's a big no-no. So, conscious of Satan and his army, how are we going to do this practically? And remember our two pat answers that we gave for all the other ones. There's two things that we always do to help us to be conscious of these things. Read the Bible and pray. Read the Bible and pray. How am I going to be conscious of this truth? I read the Bible. Satan's in the Bible. What he does is in the Bible. The other thing is I'm going to pray. Because when I pray, I'm conscious of my lack of faith. I'm conscious of what's going on out there. You know, the Lord brings other things to mind. What else are we going to do above that to help us be daily conscious of this battle? Yes, Sheila. Okay, good. So, our association with believers, that's very good, because that's going to remind us of these things. Good. And also, when you associate with believers, to actually talk about these things. Sometimes we associate with believers and we don't talk about anything spiritual, which is not, you know, that's not the end of the world. But at the same time, there should be a, hey, don't forget, comrade, we're in the midst of battle. That's right. Okay, thanks for reminding me. Hannah? Good. Okay, so you're going to be sober in all that word means. You're not going to have a clouded mind. You're going to be able to be ready at all times and be able to think straight. Good. Well, I'm just seeing if you have any really good ideas. So what you could do? You could get some armor. You get some physical armor and place it around your house and put it on the wall. Like you get an old helmet and put it on the wall. Take on the helmet of, what is it, helmet of salvation, and just have that written underneath. And then another place you have a sword. Take the sword, which is the word of God. And another place you have this really cool belt. Put on the belt of truth. So you could actually do that around your house. All right? That would kind of like, oh, that's right. Or in the midst of a battle. The other thing is, you know, I love history. And there's, you know, a lot of military history that's very, very interesting. With everything with Avery, you know, I was researching Midway, the Battle of Midway, and all that was happening, and I was watching videos on that. But whenever you're going into that mode and you're kind of thinking about those things, just to pull you back to your life right now and be like, oh, yeah, I'm in the midst of a battle too. And maybe even apply some of those things. You know, when you look at how soldiers live in the midst of a battle, there's a lot of good application. They're cautious and they're careful. And they're looking forward to going home. They're not necessarily comfortable. They're willing to sacrifice. And the list goes on and on. And you can quickly take those and apply them. So that's maybe another way to be conscious of what's going on. Obviously, as well, along with the Word of God, to memorize the Word of God. So memorize the armor of God. You know, you could even have a morning ritual where you get out of bed and you're like, putting on my shoes of the gospel, putting on my belt of truth, taking up my shield of faith, got my sword of the Spirit, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, I'm good to go. I mean, you could even do something like that just to help you be conscious of what's going on. All right, here's Here's the next one, and this one you got as well, conscious of the destiny of lost people. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Let me ask you a question. When God looks at people, what's the primary thing do you think he sees? And I'll give you some options. Do you think the primary thing he sees is their height? Or their abilities or lack of abilities? Or what about their finances? Or what about their position in a company? What about their family heritage? So what's the main thing? When God looks at people, what's the main thing he sees about them? The heart. Right, right. So he looks at them and they're either my child or they're not my child. So that is the way we should look at people. We shouldn't look at people and say, oh, this person's poor, this person's rich, this person dresses funny, this person doesn't dress funny, this person, you know, the list goes on and on. We're so quick to look at people and they're external, but we really should be concerned about their heart. Every person we see, the first thing we should wonder about them is, do they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? And we live in a strange day. A lot of people are doing a lot of strange things. A lot of people look strange. And it's really easy to be distracted by the strange, especially because we're kind of isolated in this area. If you were to go to Seattle, downtown Seattle, different places, you know, it'd be like, whoa, what's going on with the world kind of thing. And it'd be easy to be distracted by the strange. But really, we should be concerned about people's hearts. Do they know the Lord? Here is the end of people who do not know the Lord. Verse 11, so Romans 20, 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. By the way, that's a very interesting statement. And there was no place found for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, the death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We should look at people and wonder, is there a name written in the book of life? Do they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? It should really be our first thought about people. That would really change how we interact with people, wouldn't it? Right? It would kind of break down some barriers. Conscious of their eternity. This passage, God's heart towards the perishing as well, their eternal destiny, and then also God's heart towards them. 2 Peter 3, 9. I'll start with verse 8. But beloved, do not fear this one thing that the Lord, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the kind of heart we should have for people. Not willing that anybody should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. And you know what? Maybe you've had evil thoughts sometimes where you looked at someone and said, you know what? They kind of deserve to go to hell. In reality, we all deserve to go to hell. That's where we should all end up if it wasn't for the grace of God. But I wonder if sometimes in our hearts we've said, you know what? I'm not going to witness to that person because they're just really awful. They're really a nasty person. But then when we do that, we don't have God's heart, do we? Because it says here, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that should be our heart. With every person that we see, our great desire should be that they would come to repentance, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So conscious of the lost daily. How are we going to do this? How are we practically going to do this? What? Pray. Okay? Remember the two answers? Read our Bible and pray. When we read our Bibles, we have more of the heart of God. And we pray. We pray over their souls. What else are we going to pray? Pray that we'd be ready. Pray that we'd be bold. Pray for one another. Right. Okay, courage to befriend them. Opportunities. Okay, so outside of reading the Bible and praying, what are we going to do to be daily conscious of this? Okay, interact with lost people. We can become very isolated. We can become very comfortable in our Christian community because these are people that think like me and talk like me and act like me. And so it's like, I'm comfortable with my people. I'm not comfortable with these people. So I'm going to kind of stay away from them. But we do. We need to be interacting with them. We need to find ways to interact with them. You say, well, I like sewing with people at the church. Well, maybe there's a sewing group that's not part of the church, it's just part of the community that you could be part of. Maybe there's activities in a school that you could be part of the community, different areas. Food bank, different places that you could kind of plug in and be around lost people. I'll tell you another really good way to be conscious of lost people. Be very purposeful about carrying tracts. Be very purposeful about carrying tracts. Okay, we have tracts back there on the wall by the bulletin board out there. And one of the things you can do is you can keep a tract next to your bedside, next to your wallet, next to your keys, wherever, whatever you take with you every day. And you can purposefully pick that up and pray over it and take it with you. And then you're conscious. Maybe I'll have an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody today. All right, the last one that you didn't get. Conscious of eternity. Conscious of heaven, where my real home is. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. You're doing a good job staying with me tonight. And I'm surprised because most of you didn't get your nap in. Maybe it's because you had the fill in the blanks. I don't know, but good job tonight. The last thing, conscious of eternity, Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brother, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Conscious of eternity, where's my real home? My real home is in heaven with the Lord. That's my real home. I'm just a pilgrim here, a nomad, right? I should be living a nomadic lifestyle, and yet sometimes we're settled in pretty good. We've put down some pretty deep roots, you know. Sheila. He pilgrimed? If you don't know, that Stan is a John Wayne authority on him, and so is Sandy, too. So, no, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but if you ever go visit Stan and Sheila, Stan's actually got a bust of John Wayne in the house. And so it was down at the thrift store. And anyways, probably my fault because I think I told him about it, didn't I? Or I don't remember, but So our citizenship is in heaven. That's my real home. All this is just a temporary dwelling. If you can imagine living in a trailer for like a year. And when you live in a trailer for a year, that whole time your thought and mind is that, oh yeah, this is just temporary. I can put up with this because this is just temporary. You know, there's inconveniences, but it's temporary. Because I'm going to be moving into my home. And then you move into your home, and you're home. Well, this stage is that temporary stage. The next thing is, what counts for all eternity? Where is my real home, and what counts for all eternity? Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in to steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. By the way, this is just a plug for our short members meeting. you know, we could store up treasures as a church, or we could say, you know what, let's do things with the money that we have that will count for all eternity. And let's give it out there and let it be used for God's honor and glory. We can do that corporately as a church, and we can do that individually as well, storing for ourselves up treasures in heaven. Do you know one of the things that's really interesting? I don't know how often you think about things like this. think about your giving to the church. If you regularly and consistently give, and let's just say you give 10% or somewhere around there, that's quite a bit of money. Think about that over the course of 10 years. And think of what that could actually do for you, like in the stock market or something, if the stock market's working okay. Okay? Or think of it, what if you invest that somewhere else? That could actually be quite a bit of money. So you are making a conscious choice, even when you just give to the Lord. No, you know what? The Lord's work is more important. I want to do this. This is right. This is good. So you have that aspect of your giving to the Lord. But then, on top of that, when you sacrificially give, when you go above and beyond that, and you say, you know what? I could have this new thing, whatever it is, okay? Whatever, okay? Couch, blender, I don't know. Whatever the new thing you're hoping to get for Christmas is, okay? You're like nudging your spouse. This is what I want for Christmas, okay? Whatever that new thing is, I don't know. But you could say, you know, we could get this new thing, or we could just kind of be content with the old thing. You know, I mean, we could get the 96-inch TV, or we could just be content with our, you know, 50-some-inch TV. And I'm not making fun of anybody's TV, okay? And we could instead, we could take that money and we could give it over here where it could be used for God's honor and glory. And that's someone who is taking Matthew 6, 19 and 21 and they're applying it. And they're saying, you know what? I'd rather have treasures in heaven than treasures here on earth. I'd rather lay it for myself for that day, for that coming day. So always to be conscious of that, daily to be conscious of that. What's really important? What's really going to matter? You know, at the end. And then also to be conscious of this as well, there will be a review of our stewardship. We talked about stewardship in the best Sunday school class this morning. And thank you, Jacob. You picked up on that. Okay. See, now that we have two Sunday school classes, we can have Sunday school wars. No, just kidding. Actually, I've been kind of jealous because I've been hearing really good things from the other Sunday school class. I'm like, oh, but that's okay. I know. So our life will be reviewed. Let's just go to 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And that bad is the word worthless. Whether you've done things that are purposeful and good or whether you've done things that are worthless. So there will be a review of the believers. And this is not, this, you know, our salvation is not dependent on this. We're already saved. We're in Christ's presence. But our rewards will be. And as we learned in Sunday school, what's the great joy of our Sunday school out here? What's the great joy of our rewards that we get in heaven? Exactly. We'll lay them before, they'll bring glory to God. So the more rewards that we get, the more glory God will get. So it's really not even about us. And so we make it our aim. All right, how are we going to do this? How are we going to be conscious of eternity? What's the two things we're going to do? We're going to read the Bible and pray. Boy, that sounds like there's a reoccurring theme here. Because when I read my Bible, I'm going to be conscious of what really matters. Okay. Okay, so another way to be conscious of eternity is to watch the news. Now understand what I mean by that. When you watch the news, watch it through your biblical worldview. Look at it and say, you know what? I know. The Lord's coming back. What else can we do? Okay, talk to other people. Read books about heaven. No. Thy kingdom come. The part of the Lord's Prayer. Put verses around your house that talk about eternity. There's a very influential evangelical writer and pastor who, growing up in his household, over his mother's sink was the phrase, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. And he remembered that his whole life. And he rehearsed it and brought it out again and again, and it focused him continually. And that was what his mom did. Put scripture up on the walls to remind yourself of home. Remind yourself of heaven. Make yourself a heavenly passport and carry it with you. What? Sing psalms. Sing psalms, not only sing psalms, sing hymns. Yeah. Sing good songs about heaven. Yeah, and everything else we've been talking about. Good. All right, so these are a few things, six things that I say would be very good for us as believers to be daily conscious of. Now, whether you'll do it or not, it's up to you. You're conscious of them at the moment, and you might by accident be conscious of them tomorrow. But on Tuesday, probably there's not much hope that we're going to be conscious of these things unless we've actually done something to be conscious of them. What will you do? Does it matter? Is it really important? Would it really change how we live? To be conscious of lost souls, to be conscious of eternity. I think it would. I think it would make us better Christians. I think it would make us live more like we should be living. So let's go out and live it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, the time we've had together. Thank you for the reminder of truth. And Father, I pray that you'd help us all to be conscious of at least these six things. More as you bring them to our hearts and our minds. Father, I'm thankful for your continual work in us. You never give up on us. You, as we sing this morning, you guard the work begun. You will continue to work out our salvation, and we thank you for that. Father, thank you for the blessings of today, how we were able to minister to one another, how the church was able to minister to us. Thank you for the love that this church family has shown to Francis and to Gordon and Barry and even Avery, all the different people of our church family that went over and visited him while he was still with us. I'm just so thankful for that, the love that was shown here, Father, and makes it very evident that we are your disciples. So I thank you for that, and thank you for all that you've done today. Continue to keep us faithful. Help us to walk before you until you call us home. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.